France, Germany, now Spain with the alleged NSA spying.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The leaks keep dripping out of former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden. This time, it's the report that in a single month, the U.S. tracked 60 million phone calls in Spain. The newspaper El Mundo had the scoop today. Over the weekend, at least one Republican criticized President Obama for his reported apology to the leader of Germany after a leak that the NSA had monitored her mobile phone. Congressman Peter King says the NSA monitoring to fight terrorism saves lives and that the U.S. has nothing to apologize for. But others worry about the diplomatic, political, and economic fallout.
These new revelations about bugging and intelligence, I think, have created concern, and that doesn't help brand America.
Martin Sorrell is CEO of WPP, the multinational advertising and PR conglomerate.
You know, increasingly the world is becoming an American, China, G2 dominated world, and I think it's important for America's reputation and brand to be strong.
Sir Martin says the federal government shutdown and debt ceiling mess are also part of the branding problem. More of that interview is at marketplace.org. Now, a year ago this week, Hurricane Sandy plowed into the eastern seaboard, leaving dozens dead and causing more than $50 billion in damage. The repairs are ongoing in so many spots, with applications on file from 25,000 New Yorkers in need of assistance, mostly to fix homes. But some communities are not rebuilding. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour visited Oakwood Beach on Staten Island, a neighborhood that may never return.
A year after Sandy, Patty Snyder's home is still gutted. She moved out after the storm.
As you open the door, you can already smell must and just rot.
Re-entering this place brings back bad memories. During the storm, she lost contact with her family. At about 4 a.m. that night, she went to her brother's house, where she found her husband and brother-in-law.
I said, "Where's my brother?" The last time I spoke with him, he was in the basement. And they said he can't be in the basement because the water is still up so high, not knowing that he was down there covered with the water and the debris. And we found him 2 days later. Yep. It'll never be safe, as far as I'm concerned.
It hasn't been particularly safe since 92. Some neighbors have been flooded regularly, and brush fires often consume the surrounding marsh.
This area is a problem area, and there shouldn't be homes here.
The state of New York agrees, set aside up to $400 million to buy homes in communities like Oakwood Beach, where 184 out of 185 homeowners here have applied to get bought out for pre-storm value plus 10%.
Well, that land will be forever vacant. Once we buy the homes, we'll demolish the home.
Seth Diamond directs New York State's Office of Storm Recovery.
It'll provide for a much larger area on Staten Island a wonderful way to keep the water away in a natural way.
Basically, sacrifice this neighborhood, possibly save others. Frank Lettieri is waiting for his buyout check to arrive. He didn't want to sell to the government. Like many residents, he actually rebuilt his home. But now he feels like he has no choice but to sell.
They're going to knock all these houses down. We'll be surrounded by weeds. You know, we can't be the only ones left.
There are objections to the government bailing out people who've built in risky areas. That makes Joseph Tyrone bristle. He helped his neighbors petition to get bought out.
They were never told by the real estate agents that sold them the homes or the builders that built the homes, especially, there was this constant peril.
He says the buyout will save FEMA money in the long run.
Where neighborhoods choose not to be bought out, the ultimate cost is much greater than a buyout.
State officials say it'll be a couple of years before the teardown of Oakwood is done, but it's already well underway. Across the street from Patty Snyder, the government is boarding up homes and people are leaving.
This just knocked the wind out of our sails, you know.
In Oakwood Beach, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
India is trying to attract more foreign banks, but with strings attached. Rules could be on the way that strongly encourage foreign banks to open branches in rural areas and earmark services to, for instance, poor farm workers. We find the BBC's Rahul Tandon in front of a foreign-owned bank in a decidedly urban, not rural part of India.
I am in Calcutta. This was the city that had India's first foreign bank. We've seen foreign companies come into many sectors here in India, but banking is one where it's been a very slow process. The question is, David, is that about to change?
Yes, a foreign bank branch in an urban area is a bit old hat. These new rules would encourage what? More branches in rural areas?
That's, I think, what the Indian government would like to happen. Now, the reason we're discussing this is because Raghuram Rajan, the governor of the Reserve Bank of India, was recently in Washington, and he made some statements which seemed to indicate that this sector was going to open up dramatically. But do they want to take that opening? Because if they come in here as subsidiaries, they'll have to set up a lot of their banks in rural areas of India. And I think a lot of foreign banks will look at that at the moment and say, we don't want to do that, because if they give loans in those areas, there's very little for them to secure those loans against.
Now, the reason why the Indian government is encouraging rural banks has an interesting public policy goal, right? It would be to bring banking to poorer people or agricultural workers, for instance?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there. And I think the feeling is, whilst it's a great policy for India to have more banks that could access the rural sector, 50% of this country doesn't have access to banking, is that going to attract foreign companies in? And so a lot of discussion about this, but will it turn into anything concrete? Will we see more banks like the one in front of me? Maybe not quite yet.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David.
We're doing that NSA branding story. We would also like to hear from you when it comes to your data. Whom do you trust more, the NSA or Google? At marketplace.org, you'll find an unscientific yet compelling little survey that we hope is food for thought. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.